Good afternoon, everybody. Camille here for another episode of Paleo Love and Transformation. Wow, I have a little confession for you guys. That is that I have not recorded an episode in probably a month. And I, as I'm starting this recording, I'm just remembering how to do it. But it's natural now, like riding a bike, right? So I have a really special episode for you today. I have told you guys a little bit about this guest. Her name is Julia Mick. And what month was it? I think it was in October, I think. I met Julia and I participated in an introductory course called Breath of Love, which she'll tell you more about. And then I loved it so much that I decided to cancel my plans for the weekend and spend a whole weekend with her. And it was really, really phenomenal. It paved the way. Well, I don't know if it paved the way, but it definitely added to the paving of the way for some deep things that I was processing at the time. And after that, I started to experience a pretty rapid growth in my business. And I think that some of the work that Julie and I did together was really the reason for that. I am now on my way in December to do a 3-month course with her all by myself in Ojai, which I'm really excited about. It's a vision quest of sorts. And Julia is also going to be a contributor in the next round of the School of Inner Beauty. So you will be seeing and hearing a lot more from her and gleaning from her immense wisdom in the upcoming months. Let me tell you a little bit about Julia. Julia was born in Estonia. She now lives in Ojai, California, and she is an internationally renowned healer, teacher, and spiritual guide. She is the founder of Breath of Love Work, which certifies Breath of Love practitioners in different countries worldwide. Julia's experience instantly changes people's lives. And like I said, I can totally attest to that. Her clients come from all over the world to experience the shamanic Breath of Love process, receive a deep emotional and physical healing, and embody courage to live their soul purpose. Ooh, I love it. Hi, Julia. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Camille. It's a great joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I love your voice. It's so soothing and exotic and all at the same time.
I know I have some clients who tell me that, can you just read me like a phone book? All I need to hear is your voice. I don't even need all this wisdom. I just need to hear your voice. Yeah.
It oozes. The wisdom oozes through in your voice. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I love it. So before we get started, so the topic, everybody, that we are going to be delving into today is the idea of, or just the tools to liberate yourself from worry and anxiety. And depending on when you are listening to this podcast, we're recording it in December during the holiday season when a lot of people are especially worried and anxious at a time when, you know, we know we shouldn't be, we should be having fun and planning the holidays. But I find for my clients this time of year that this can be a time of great worry and anxiety. So I am very excited to delve into this topic with Julia. But before we do that, Julia, I would love for you to just share with the listeners about your story that brought you to this place. I mean, you've been doing this work for a long time and you are not very old. So you must have gotten started real young.
Oh God. I got started really young without even knowing I got started. They do believe that all of us, when we are young, we are very open and connected to our power, to our divinity, whatever you call it. But for me, yeah, one of the interesting things that happened, my Kundalini awakened pretty early. I actually did a whole video on that. And but that freaked my mother out. I mean, I don't know how long I should go into it.
What that means. I'm not sure if most of the listeners would know what that means, that your Kundalini awakened.
Kundalini is you know, for many people, Kundalini awakens in the moment of orgasm. So when they have let go of control completely and they have surrendered to their, to this current of pleasure and bliss and openness and freedom. But Kundalini is just an energy that flows through us and that is designed to flow freely. And it produces a lot of pleasure and bliss and clarity in our lives and intuition and even psychic ability. But anyway, for me, it just came like these waves of bliss. And I told my mom about it and my mom totally freaked out because my mom was like, oh my God, my 5-year-old daughter is having these orgasmic experiences.
Oh my gosh, you were five? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it was really young. So I didn't know. I was just so excited. Look, this, it felt really good. That's all I could say to myself in my 5-year-old language. It feels amazing in my body. But anyway, it really, it activated this whole interesting journey because my mom freaked out and then she started taking me to all kinds of psychiatrists and interestingly enough, not only Western psychiatrists and psychologists, but actually she was into like clairvoyance and she was into people channeling stuff and people seeing energy. So she started taking me to all these people who were out of the ordinary and they started introducing me to this world that we cannot see with our bare eyes. You know, the world where we have spirit guides, where energy moves, where energy movement can heal. In people who see auras, you name it. So anyway, that really opened my eyes to this whole another world that mainstream society doesn't talk about much, or at least at that time definitely didn't talk. And well, I have had a long journey, so fast forward.
No, this is actually 18. Really interesting. I don't want you to slow it down. I love it.
Well, I don't want the whole podcast be about me necessarily, but yeah.
What was happening with the so your mom was taking you to these people who you were, was she hoping they would fix you and then they were confirming that you didn't need to be fixed?
Well, it was a double-edged sword because I did got a really severe complex of something being wrong with me that I had to heal for many years after the fact. You know, once I was a teenager and afterwards started doing a lot of inner work, I had to look into that place that felt that something was wrong with me and that felt miserable, even though it was not always obvious, but it was like this underlying nagging fear inside of me. So in a way, you know, it's okay. All parents are not perfect and parents do things that sometimes make us feel not good enough and that's all fine. So that was the downside of the journey, but the bright side was definitely that I got exposed to all these amazing teachers and healers and spiritual guides who were talking about things that nobody else was talking to. And for me, it actually was confirmation to what I was feeling inside, because I was also having these interesting experiences with energy and I was seeing lights. I was talking to, you know, imaginary friends or beings or angels. Anyway, I got a lot of confirmation and encouragement in a way to keep exploring this path, that it's okay. So it was a really interesting combination of things. I'm grateful that my childhood began in this way. I definitely went through a pretty dark time when I was a teenager, which, you know, most teenagers do. And that was one of them. I was totally depressed. I felt I wasn't good enough. I felt incredibly insecure about my body, about everything about me. And one thing that started taking me out of that dark hole was exploring some spiritual practices, some spiritual wisdom. So I started going to workshops and taking classes. And I was just like shopping. I was spiritual shopping. But once I came to this one workshop that was with my first teacher, Dan Brulé, and it was breath work. That weekend was about breath work, his style of spiritual breathing. It's not like any yoga breathing. It's very deep inner journey of spiritual breathing. And that changed my life completely. And that was just really going through a few hours in that workshop, going through this deep journey that lasted a few hours. And it awakened me to the state of incredible wholeness. I felt like I had arrived home. That's the best way I could describe it. Like this deep, deep comfort and peace inside of me that felt like home. And that changed my life completely. And one thing that it showed me was the power of breath and the power of going deep inside, that is way beyond thinking about things or analyzing things or understanding things. It has nothing to do with even understanding. It's there are modalities out there, and now I'm teaching a very similar modality that open us up through bypassing the mind, and they're creating this direct access to the deep place of freedom and ease and grace that is available inside of us. It's just often blocked away by our old uncomfortable experiences or fears or insecurities or what we learn from our teachers and parents. So there's a way to access it, but we can talk about it later.
So yeah. So how old were you when you had that first experience?
With that breathwork style was 17, around 17. And of course, after that experience, I dropped everything else I had done. I meditated. I was studying talking to angels. I was studying seeing energy, like studying chakras. I was studying a lot of things. I was just sincerely curious about it. But after that one workshop with my first breathwork teacher, like I dropped everything else. I was like, everything else takes way too much time. Mm-hmm. My meditation teachers were telling me, well, if you're lucky, maybe in this lifetime, you will experience deep peace and deep bliss. And here I was, you know, here I was in 3 hours.
Yeah.
In such incredible altered state of consciousness. So yeah, I was like, I go for simple and effective. So that's what I stuck with for the rest of my life, pretty much.
Yeah, and how long did it take before you began being a practitioner? And you also, Breath of Love, as I understand it, is not exactly what you learned. It's something that you have created. It's your own body of work. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah, that experience I just shared was like a beginning of deepening into this modality of deep inner discovery and finding out who I really am and what I'm really capable of. But I've had different teachers since then. I've sat with many years with Gangaji, with Adya Shanti, studied with other world famous rebirthers and breath workers. But most importantly, actually, one work that affected me the most was my work with shamans from Peru, a Peruvian lineage of work that is just so full of ancient wisdom. And what it did, it's not necessarily that it told me how things are, but it helped me awaken. And actually my time with Gangaji also was one of the biggest awakenings into the reality that's beyond what we can see with our eyes, the reality where there's this eternal state of peace, eternal pure, graceful awareness that can live through us and feel through us and move us in our life. And that is just so beyond any kind of worry, anxiety, or insecurity that most people feel. And from awakening to those places of awareness, of consciousness, I started seeing energy and seeing how reality gets created, how our beliefs create what we experience, and how the experience creates our reality. So there's this whole chain reaction of things. But I'm most excited about how we can realign ourselves on a level of energy inside of our body, on a level of subconscious, on a level of nervous system, on a level of deep seated beliefs, and creating liberation, freedom in the body. So it's not about leaving somewhere and finding glimpses of peace in deep meditation, but actually learning to carry that state of being mm-hmm. in our lives.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing, because, you know, especially because I have experienced some of your work and I have experienced how quickly and profoundly it does work. I love hearing the story and hearing the some of the why behind it. It's really cool for me. Let me ask you a question, just because I've been really into this the last couple of years. And did you ever, are you familiar with the book? I think it's called Power Up Your Brain. And it was written by a shaman and a neuroscientist. Have you heard of it before?
I love that. You know, it sounds familiar, but I definitely haven't read it.
Yeah, I haven't read the entire thing, but I mean, just the fact that it was those two things brought together was to me totally fascinating. But it begins to explain how when you go into these practices, like I'm sure was happening when you guided me and when you guide people through the breath of love, is that you're actually able to tap into, is it the neo, do you know much about this, like the neocortex or like this front part of, it's like this stuff all taps you into this front part of your brain when for the most part we live in our like mammalian reptilian part of our brain, you know, that is not terribly evolved. And it's by, you know, actively like moving in and using this front part of our brain where we can come to be able to consistently know and experience these, you know, sensations of bliss and enlightenment and connection to the divine and all of that stuff.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it's really a profound time we are living in. Our species are going through a massive recalibration to a whole different way our brain functions, to the way our DNA functions, our nervous system. We are our own scientists creating new species as we speak here right now. And a lot of it has to do with what you said about moving from our survival mechanism, from our reptilian brain, from the fear-based brain into the neocortex that is full of clarity and intuition. And there's just this state of freedom and ease in it when we function from neocortex. And one thing also that's happening on a brain chemistry level, we are actually expanding our capacity to live with much higher levels of serotonin and dopamine. And serotonin is, as you know, that's what takes away depression. And it takes away the anxiety and worry. And all the antidepressants are based around increasing serotonin.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So this is doing that. This is learning practices to be able to cultivate that yourself.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Oh, sorry.
And also dopamine. And you know, there's so much that happens on a brain chemistry level. It's such a fascinating machine we have happening between our ears. But there's dopamine, there's pineal gland, and all of them add to the fullness and aliveness of our life. Like, for instance, dopamine very much creates this feeling of excitement and power and this feeling of, you know, invincibility, this feeling like I can do anything. So there's a lot of power in it. And like I can very much track myself when I have high levels of dopamine. There's this ability to get a lot done. I have a lot of energy and excitement to do different things. I'm even excited about going doing laundry. It's like this amazing adventure. So it has nothing to do with what I do, but it has everything to do with what's happening in my brain, in my nervous system, in my energy inside of me.
I think I might have a lot of dopamine.
I think you do. I really do think you do. Yes. That's what makes you so successful. Yeah. And you have, you do have a lot of serotonin too, because serotonin is, simply put, it's a neurotransmitter of joy. That's what creates joy. And you do have a lot of that too.
Thank you. Oh, I love that. And you know what actually is super great about this conversation, and probably what really got me excited even about that book, is being able to begin to bring what, there's been such a deep divide, I think, between like the physical world and the world of science, and then, you know, the world of like mysticism and spirituality. And when, you know, for people who are very, you know, sort of run by their logical brain and they want to see science and evidence before they'll take leaps of faith, I think to be able to hear this conversation where you can get, and books like Power Up Your Brain, where you can begin to get the science and the concrete understanding of why integrating these spiritual practices is so important and so beneficial, I think is very helpful for people.
Yes. Definitely. I have a good friend who is a genius scientist. He doesn't believe anything spiritual, but we actually can have a conversation and talk about the same exact things, except his language is on a level of biochemistry. What happens in the body, what happens in the brain, what happens in your cells. But it's really the same thing, because the experience is the same experience of joy and grace and freedom and pursuing your dreams. That is really the same.
Yeah, and we are all, and that's, and again, in on the same note, that's why, like, I've always been drawn, you know, I have an aversion to religion, but a love of anything that is like love and spirituality that is showing the connection between all things. And if we truly believe that we are all one and there only is one, and I know that that's, I mean, I know that that's what you believe, that it's like when that's true, then everything falls underneath that. And it shouldn't surprise us that you can use so many different, you know, traditions and languages and tools and techniques to really point to the oneness that is all in all anyway.
Exactly. And for me, it's about what works.
Yes, and different
People
things
are
work for
one.
different people.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
what
Oh.
to talk about God, the brain chemistry, energy, like what helps you open today? That's my main question.
Yeah. Sorry, we are you hearing me okay? I'm getting a little bit choppy.
I'm hearing you great.
Okay, good. I'm going to go to a closer internet, but sorry, everybody. So let's just dive right into that. Let's just talk about you know, I know that you have some specific things to, you know, to share with everybody and just to have more of a conversation about worry and anxiety and helping people find tools that really do work for them. Where do we get started with that?
Maybe we started by taking a deep breath.
Okay.
Because in my work, in breath of love work, you know, as I learned how our energy system functions and how our belief systems affect the way we feel and how our subconscious stores thousands and millions of memories and how those memories continuously influence our lives. There is a way we can start unwinding the memories and experiences and fears and worries that don't help us with being free and joyful and courageously moving forward in our lives. So there are a few simple things I can definitely share on this call right away, that are very much responsible for our ability to be at peace or experience joy instead of feeling anxiety and worry. And one of them is actually breath. I can mention that right away because this, even though it's very simple, it's very powerful. And as I mentioned before, it changed my life to go through a deep breathwork soul journey. But it's a specific kind of breathwork, of course, that creates specific kind of results in our bodies. But just to even speak generally about the breath is life. And people who are listening to this call right now, they can check in with their breath right away and see, is the breath shallow or deep? Because shallow breath is directly connected to not wanting to feel something, not wanting to feel fully alive, not having courage to feel fully empowered. But more than anything, there are emotions and feelings that most people continuously try not to feel. And what helps them not feel those emotions and feelings is making the breath shallow. And we actually learned that a long time ago in our early childhood, when our parents didn't know how to welcome in our aliveness, didn't know how to support our joy, who didn't know how to allow our sadness. Our parents weren't these enlightened masters who knew how to support and welcome every single emotion, and they were themselves scared of feeling certain emotions. They were uncomfortable to feel. And they didn't show us, or just simply didn't know how to welcome and allow us being alive, alive in our joy, alive in our laughter, alive in our sadness, alive in our rage, alive in everything that moved through us. And it taught us, as little children, it taught us that it's not okay to feel those things. So we made our breath shallow, we contracted our body, we pushed away those feelings. And now most people move in the world being half numb. They don't even know they have numb. And many people even take antidepressants to be even more numb, to not feel at all. And I understand there's purpose for everything, but ultimately this conversation is an invitation to start feeling more, to become more alive, and to realize how you cannot avoid anxiety by trying to push away certain feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. The anxiety itself is there because you're repressing and suppressing certain parts of you, making them wrong, trying very hard to not feel them. That's exhausting.
Yeah.
And when I work with people and watch how their energy moves and where energy doesn't move and where the blocks are, and it's only in the places where they have learned not to feel. They have made the conclusion, somebody told them, or somehow they learned it's not okay to feel that thing. Mm-hmm. But once the block is there long enough, it starts creating a problem in the physical body. And then pain occurs, some kind of illness happens. And that's already like severe blockage. And we never have to wait until something manifests in as a physical problem. That's already like waiting way too long.
So basically what you're saying, and I know that, you know, many people who are listening are familiar, let's say, with like Louise Hay's work, You Can Heal Your Life, and the idea that all physical illness has an emotional root. But that even, the way that you explained it makes a little more sense. But can you distinguish that just a little bit deeper?
Distinguish what?
Just the how trapped or blocked emotions or energy actually manifests sickness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me feel into it for a moment, because it's such a deep topic, and I don't want to make it too deep.
Maybe we do a whole nother show on just that or something. But
yeah, I mean, energetically, just the way it describes, so we are energetic beings, and energy inside of us is meant to flow all the time, nonstop, through every energy channel, through every cell, through every blood vessel, through every muscle. The energy is meant to always circulate and move all the time, nonstop. But at certain point, and it's usually in the childhood, it can happen in the moment of birth, it can happen when we're in the womb, when there is a contraction that happens. And contraction can be simply because of some kind of maybe fear, maybe you got startled, maybe a loud dog barked behind the window when you were sleeping in bed alone. It could be anything. When we are children, it's so subtle. We are so very sensitive when we are kids that everything affects us. And if the mother is not there or father is not there to immediately help us feel safe and protected, it creates a contraction in our system. Energy cannot flow fully anymore. And energy starts slowing down and starts getting blocked in places. And that's why when you look at children, they have incredible amount of energy, right? And a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And that's because the energy stream is flowing fully. And it takes years and years to practice and learn to start suppressing certain feelings, not feel safe to feel other feelings, to learn from teachers maybe that it's not okay to be loud or talk when you want to talk. You have to be quiet. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to fit into the norms of society and become like conditioned, become a little bit like a robot, mm-hmm. to not honor your own innate aliveness, but to make the outside rules more important. And for that, we have to suppress what's most real for us. We have to suppress certain emotions. We have to suppress certain feelings because they don't fit into this societal picture we are in. Mm-hmm. Whatever your societal picture is, your community has its own unique picture, and you're trying always to fit into that as you're growing up. But that is continuously, you have to block and push away certain aspects of you that don't fit into the picture, and that blockage literally blocks the energy from flowing. And usually, for instance, in our body and our energy system,
gets blocked in different ways in response to different situations. Like our belly, our digestion is usually to do with emotional, unresolved emotional problems. When we couldn't feel emotion fully, we didn't feel safe to let go of the emotion fully, it gets blocked and constricted in the belly. And that's also one reason why so many people have digestive problems. And I have seen in so many clients that when somebody comes to me, I often see immediately, oh, you have digestive problems, and they can see that it's an emotional blockage. There's an emotion that they have not been able to resolve. They just didn't have the right person or right safe environment or right facilitation to let go of that emotion. So it creates this contraction in the belly, and the digestive tract cannot function properly.
Okay, so Julie, are you telling me if I heal my emotions, I'll be able to eat cheese again?
Very possible. Very possible. Yeah.
That's like motivation enough for me to go as deep into my emotional journey as possible.
Oh my God, to eat cheese. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Without feeling sick.
I love it. Maybe I should change the text on my website. How to be able to eat cheese again.
Yes.
Yeah. But the interesting thing that happens, is that when people go through their emotional healing and resolve the conflicts they picked up in their childhood or in their relationships, even though their digestive tract heals and their body heals and they get more energy and they feel much more empowered, but they also start tuning into what actually serves them the most, and they start naturally, effortlessly be drawn towards situations and foods that actually are in their highest good, that actually are most nourishing them, that are most supportive to them. Mm-hmm. And then I've noticed it in my own life and in my clients' lives that they naturally start drawn towards very healthy foods. Mm-hmm. And I don't even necessarily work with clients on diet. This is not my number one priority. I'm just watching what happens when they heal certain places inside of them. It could be healing a belief that you're not good enough or you don't deserve the best. Mm-hmm. It could be a very subconscious level, deep memory that you don't deserve the best. And you naturally immediately start giving yourself in your life things that are not the best, mm-hmm. because that's what you truly believe about yourself. And you might not even know that exists. The easiest way to see what your subconscious does is by watching what your reality does. If your reality is not offering you the most effortless abundance, most amazing opportunities, most joyful possibilities, then there's something on your subconscious level that doesn't believe that you deserve it. Yeah. But just thinking about it and talking about it is not enough. Mm-hmm. We've really got to go into the subconscious, go to that level that conscious mind cannot even access. We cannot talk our way into it. And that's where my work comes in. That's where Breath of Love comes in, to help people get to that level where the constriction or that unhealthy belief exists. And on that level, find freedom and ease and feel how loved you are and feel how supported you are, how much abundance is there for you. And when you start feeling that on the level of subconscious, that's what immediately shifts your whole life. That's my most favorite part, actually, to watch how my clients' lives shift. That's like magic. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I alluded to it at the beginning, but I want to just say just a couple sentences about it, is that, you know, one thing for me and that I had always struggled with in my business was I did everything myself. And even when, you know, I had tried to have partnerships, they ended up not going well. I got burned. I, you know, and I just ended up for years and years just working like 14, 16 hours a day. And I didn't want to be doing this, but I didn't. I was stuck in this pattern of being like a one man show. And then I, you know, I started to look at, well, what is that? And I started, and around the time I was meeting you, I was beginning to unravel that, you know, fundamentally I wasn't really trusting people. And I didn't believe that I was worthy of having somebody else come in and support my vision. And these words, it all is coming very easy to me now, but it was very much in the blind spot for many, many years. But what was so fascinating, and I didn't come to your workshop to work on this at all. I just came to come. And but something definitely shifted there where I don't know, you could probably explain better the experience that I went through, but what happened pretty naturally and effortlessly within a couple weeks of finishing that, or not even weeks, probably a week, was the places where I had always worked by myself, all of a sudden I had two people working for me paid, managing 8 to 10 interns. And that literally shifted in like a 2 week period. And it really wasn't even hard. I mean, there was a little bit of tension and anxiety around it for a couple days, but that's not really a whole lot when you just build like out of nothing a team of people. And I went to being able to do mostly the work that I want to do and allowing other people to really manage the day-to-day operations of my business. And so it's really testimony to what you're speaking of, that something shifted in me on a subconscious level that just naturally allowed my external reality to shift.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I love hearing the story. And that's that's what I'm devoted to. Yeah, of course, it's wonderful when people have a blissful experience in a session, or they have an insight, or they realize something about themselves, or find God. That's all beautiful. But I am very passionate about letting their life actually shift into a clear alignment with who they really are, what their gift is in the world, and with the joy that's possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's so powerful. Our subconscious is so powerful. And many people run around every day trying to fix problems, trying to make things work, trying. There's so much effort that goes into it. But this is never ending, because if on a subconscious level you don't shift, the reality won't shift. So you're always like trying to put band-aids on problems. Like, mm-hmm. You can put 50 or 100 band-aids on a same problem and maybe it looks a little better. But first of all, it takes a lot of energy and time to put those band-aids on a problem.
Yeah.
It would be much easier to not have the problem to begin with, to not mm-hmm. create that circumstance in your life that then you have to put so much worry and anxiety into.
Yeah, and that's really everything that you just said is exactly the reason and the foundation for the School of Inner Beauty. Is that, we're not using those exact words, but, and I don't even know how much we've used the word subconscious mind, but that's really what it is, you know, for women, you know, we have this, you know, this God-given right and need to want to experience our beauty, you know, our beauty and our femininity and our divinity and to be attractive and to be loved and all of those things. And yet, for most women at their core, they feel anything but that. And then we do all of these things, you know, there's eating disorders and, you know, getting, you know, the things we do to our body in terms of diet and exercise and plastic surgery and clothes and makeup. Mm-hmm. And I mean, billions of dollars we're spending each year in this industry, all these are like just a whole lot of band-aids. And, that's really the vision behind the school is forming new pathways I don't know if it's retraining the subconscious mind. You could probably say it better than that, but getting it all integrated.
yes, exactly. So you let your subconscious mind be on the same page with your conscious mind. Mm-hmm. So if your conscious mind says, "Hey, I deserve joy," to actually know it and believe it on the deepest level mm-hmm. of your subconscious too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So got back to this whole idea or this whole conversation we're having around worry and anxiety. What are there some specific things that we will be able to leave the listeners with today to liberate them, to free them from worry and anxiety, maybe a couple fundamental principles. I mean, I know we've been talking about it already, or maybe a specific practice.
Yes, I'd love to give it. And before I give you a little specific practice, I also mentioned that on my website, I'm giving away a few free meditations and audios actually take people through a little journey. It's just like 20-minute meditations.
Awesome.
So they're really simple and very powerful with a beautiful soundtrack. So yeah, that's something that's just easier usually to have somebody guiding you. That's what I have noticed, that it's much easier to break through stagnant patterns when you have somebody else holding your hand, guiding mm-hmm. your way, who can see your blind spots. I mean, in the audios, necessarily, I won't be working with people one-on-one, but at least they will feel guided and held, and that's very important.
Yeah, so those will be everybody. That will be, we'll put the links to those meditations in the show notes so you can get that on the website. Let me ask you a question since you just said it. And I don't know this if this is like a 10-minute answer, you don't have to give it, but how do you do that? Like, you guys, when Julia, I was in this workshop with her, it was like I was just breathing and she was coming over whispering things in my ear. Like, she knew exactly what was happening inside of me and whispering things like, okay, do this or breathe like that, or just whispering, like, you could see inside of me and you knew everything that was happening. How do you do that?
I just love who you are, Camille. You're just so full of joy and excitement. I just love it. I could talk to you all days long. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, it's so natural. I have done it for many, many years. I have been teaching Breath of Love for 12 years now. But yeah, it feels pretty natural just to see into people's energy and know. And let's see, how can I keep it very simple? Well, of course, it's a combination of my intuition, being able to see energy, to see how it moves, and also my connection to my spirit guides. Mm-hmm. And either you believe it or not, but, you know, I do tap into this, what I often call an infinite intelligence mm-hmm. that simply knows. And mm-hmm. everyone can have that access to the infinite intelligence. But I have just cultivated for many years this ability to know things, but especially because I have been focusing so much on healing people, then I have refined my capacity to know and see energy when it comes to helping people shift out of their stagnant patterns, mm-hmm. patterns of to worry or be anxious. And and also in my work, even though I'm there, I always give thanks, like deepest gratitude to all the other beings that are surrounding me when I work, like all the invisible beings of great light. And again, when I work with people, they don't have to even believe any of it. Just you ask the question so I can answer the way I see things.
Yeah, please.
So it's very much up to them to bring in this profound amount of light and healing, miraculously healing light into people's bodies. But see, that light cannot enter us if we don't allow it. So my job is to go to the person and help them understand that it's safe to open, it's safe to let go, it's safe to surrender to this light, it's safe to let it in, and to help the body also just open to it. So their nervous system opens and relaxes into it. So their brain chemistry opens and starts allowing it in. Because everyone has a free will, the light is not going to push itself on us. The person has to be there to actually say yes. Not just say yes in the mind, but again, say yes on a subconscious level to help the body say yes. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, the whole technique comes in, how to say yes on that level.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good answer. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So answering your question about what could I leave people with, I can just give a little practice, and I'm going to keep it very simple, but if you really dive into it, it can be incredibly powerful. And it's based on feeling what you're feeling in the moment. Like in this moment, you can just track your body, notice where there's pain, where there's no pain, what is the emotion, where is the emotion. And then take a couple of deep breaths to relax into the moment. And then to embrace that feeling that you might normally not want to feel. Because that's where the healing happens. As I said before, the problem is when we resist a feeling. When we push it away, it cannot go anywhere, it cannot heal, it cannot let go. We try to push it away, we hide it to deep corners of our subconscious. But the healing can happen when we start opening our heart to that feeling, turn towards it, and welcome it in. And this is a radical act of kindness. This is radical because for your whole life, it's possible there was nobody who ever taught you how to feel that feeling that fully, how to trust that feeling so deeply, and how to be unconditionally loving towards that feeling, how to really hold it and embrace it. So this is radical, and it's much easier said than done. And that's where facilitation comes in. Even if you can ask your friend to hold that kind of space for you, or you have somebody you trust. But I have seen miracles happen. You know, this is one cornerstone of my work. I mean, I describe it very simply, but when I bring people into that place that they have judged and made wrong about themselves and pushed away for years, and when I help them to actually open their heart to it, to hold it lovingly, tenderly, with forgiveness, with compassion, amazing healing happens. Mm-hmm. Like, heart opens so much self-love becomes possible, so much ability to know that you're precious, that you're beautiful, you're amazing happens. And even physical healing, I remember I worked with a man in LA, and it actually was his wife who wanted him to come because his wife thought that he was way too stressed out. So he came, we did 3 sessions. And of course, yes, he tapped into so much more peace in his life. There was so much more clarity and ease. But he was totally blown away. He came for his 4th private session, and he was like, "Why didn't you tell me, Julia? You didn't tell me that you can actually heal my body. You're a healer." And I was like, "Well, it's not my agenda. I don't really even have an agenda. I just continuously listen to what's in your highest good." But yes, when you heal those emotions, when you heal those places that you feel are not good enough, that you shouldn't even feel them, it's amazing what happens on a bodily level. So it comes full circle to what we already talked about. And he healed a chronic back pain that he had for many, many years. He was a very wealthy man, so he had paid massive amount of money. He said it was just a ridiculous amount of money he had paid to very famous doctors in different places in the world, and nobody could help on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And all that was needed was this very deep emotional healing, emotional letting go. He didn't even know that emotion was there, because he was moving through life trying not to feel it. Mm-hmm. Of course, how would he know it even exists if he's doing his very best to not feel it and not even think of it? So when there was this container of sacred space, he was able to do that go into that feeling that he was trying to avoid and open his heart to it. And I can just give you a couple of tips that really help with opening your heart in this way. They're very simple, but they're very powerful. And the first one is relaxing your body. If you're contracted, if your shoulders are tensed or your lower back is tensed, belly, your heart is not open. So you can help your heart open. You can help yourself feel that part of you that you think is not good enough, to feel it and embrace it by relaxing to the best of your capacity, you know, closing your eyes and softening your body first. And you'll notice how much easier it will be just to open your heart to every part of you. Mm-hmm. And the second one is breath. And that's what I mentioned in the very beginning of our talk, is how breathing helps us feel. So if you really want to feel something more fully and acknowledge and honor it, you must make your breath deeper. And that's what helps that feeling to flow, that energy to flow. And when energy flows, healing happens.
Mm.
When energy doesn't flow, anxiety happens. Mm. And eventually physical pain happens.
Mm-hmm.
So these are very three simple things, like feeling deeply with no judgment, relaxing deeply, and breathing deeply.
Mm.
I know they're very simple,
mm-hmm.
but when you really dive into them and explore them, it's amazing what you can discover for yourself.
I think that the thing, or at least for me, that is most challenging about it is remembering in the moments, you know, of worry and anxiety. Like, because you get so, you get high, what do they call it? Like the amygdala hijack.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you forget, you go into this state of fight or flight, and it's like yeah. survival, whatever. And, you know, in the moments when I remember to breathe, it's like, oh, yeah, and instantly, okay, Camille, like leave whatever environment you're in. Just close your eyes, relax, take some deep breaths, and focus on my breathing. You know, everything's okay. Within a very short amount of time. But if I'm being honest, sometimes it takes me hours to remember to do that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought it up. The magic is in repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Any habit that God created inside of us, any habit, it is there because we repeated it enough of times for it to become a habit. Even the habit to contract the breath, to contract our body, that is also a habit. We had to learn it. We weren't born with it.
Yes,
had
good
to
point.
Learn it. Mm-hmm. And that's when it became a habit. So now when we want to create a new habit, again, we must repeat it enough of times for it to become natural.
Yeah.
And then it just kicks in at the right moment, at the right time. And you know, with this little practice idea that I gave you to feel, relax, and breathe, even that, if you do it every day, it will become a new habit. So when a stressful moment arises, it will be much easier to take a few deep breaths and mm-hmm. consciously relax your belly.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, in my life, in my work, I really love rewiring my whole nervous system and body in a way that it's, I don't even have to think about something. So it becomes
yes.
so ingrained.
Yes.
And that's where, like when I take people through sessions, when they're laying in front of me, that's what I track a lot of time. I watch where is that stress mechanism? Where does the flight and fight happen? And immediately noticing how it's a chain reaction. Anxiety comes up, flight and fight comes up, breath stops, body contracts, pain happens, but I stop it. In that moment, I teach the body to actually stop the chain reaction. And instead of creating this contraction, we teach the body in that very moment to take a deep breath. But that's where the facilitation comes in, just as you said,
mm-hmm.
because on your own, you get lost in that unconscious moment.
Yeah.
But for somebody to see you and say, hey, right here, it's safe to take a deep breath. It's safe to relax. It's okay.
Mm.
And that's what rewires you. If you can even maybe practice it with a friend, but for somebody to be able to track you, to watch you and remind you in that very moment when you do not remember.
Mm. Wow. So, okay. So one last thing, I don't know how long we've been, but it's probably we're getting about to the end of showtime, but I have to ask you and share this one last thing with the listeners was again, going back to my experience on, so we did, you know, we do in Julia's full day workshops, everyone, we do this extended session, breath session, and she comes around and speaks to us and or whispers to us and, you know, helps us through these blocks as she's talking about. And at one point I had this, I mean, this was one of the most profound experiences I've had in my life. I had my arms lifted up over my head and I started to feel a tingling, and it was like I was feeling it in my lips and in my mouth, and then I was also feeling it in my hands going like halfway down my arm. And it felt like energy current, really, but not just like the idea of energy currents, but like it really felt like I had this energy just not pulsing, but really radiating out at least 2 inches on either side of my body. And not my whole body, but like I said, in my hands and part of my arms and a little bit in my mouth. And then I went and I moved my hands down to put them over my stomach because I wanted to see how it would feel if that energy was there. And then what happened was freaking crazy. Basically, my hands, and this is like, I mean, I have done drugs in the past. I've done ecstasy and mushrooms and all of that. This is like, I wasn't on any drugs, you guys. And it was like reverse magnets, like, you know, the when magnets are pushing against. And I had my hands were like levitating above my belly, like probably 4 inches above my belly. And it took no work for my arms to keep them there. And they were just hovering there with this energy coming through for, I don't know, I guess it could have been a minute. It could have been an hour. I don't know how long it actually was. But Julia, what was happening?
Oh, there's so many levels to it. Okay. Well, I can say just from the point of view of your power, like that's what was happening. You were actually tapping into your power, and power being your light, your energy, your gift to the planet, your clarity. And we are incredibly powerful beings. We are infinite beings. Our body is just a small little container on this planet, but who we really are energetically are incredibly powerful. But many people haven't learned to bring this power into their body and through the body. And the reason for it to come into the body is because when you can carry this power in your body, then you can allow this power to affect everything in your world. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you're with, there's this clarity and bliss that comes with your power that informs you and guides you. And that does feel, at least in the beginning stages when you start doing this work, it does feel like this incredible current of energy throughout your whole body. And that's a very, very good sign. Yeah.
I guess I'm on the right track.
You definitely are. You definitely are. Yeah.
It was a really cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes deep trust. And it takes deep trust because for me, when I see you tap into so much power and bring so much energy and vitality into yourself, for me, it's a clear sign that what's actually happening is you trusting the bigness of who you are. You're trusting the bigness of your purpose, the bigness of your gift, the bigness of this light. Mm. And you're actually trusting it, and you have surrendered to it, and you're allowing it. You're not resisting it anymore. You're not trying to keep yourself in the old familiar box. And you have stepped out of your old identity, your old patterns. Mm. And that's why now so much energy and vitality can flow through you.
Yeah, I would say it's probably about time for a tune-up. I mean that's always, I mean, what we'll have these experiences of that. And then, I mean, there were certainly, you know, in my life since then, there are things that have never been the same. But like you said, it's also, I mean, it's great to come to a weekend workshop and have this amazing experience where you tap into something you've never seen before. But then, you know, the consistent practice of deepening that and opening that from the day to day, that's another story.
Yeah. And I usually work with people who want to learn to do this work on their own. That way it becomes the regular daily practice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely about learning a technique, a modality, something that works powerfully for you, and then just repeating it and just having like a regular practice, like taking a shower every day. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep yourself clean, you're going to take a shower, but you don't always have to go to a practitioner to take a shower. You know, you can learn how to do it on your own, and then life will stay empowered.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so great. Okay, so I think that we're out of time, but we will leave the notes, but would you like to tell the listeners how they can connect with you, maybe if there's anything that you have coming up that you would like to share about. I can't guarantee that people will be listening to it before the time has passed, but anything that you just want to tell us about what's up with you.
Well, everything is really on my website. That's always the best place to get the updates. But I am available right now for one-on-one sessions, for phone sessions, for Skype sessions. Very often new people, they do maybe one or two phone sessions first or Skype sessions, whatever they prefer. Mm-hmm. And then they come to work one-on-one because that's where the deepest work happens and the fastest shift happens when we can do work one-on-one.
I know, so, I can't wait to come to Ojai this month and see you.
Yes! Yes, yes. And people come for Vision Quest, like you already mentioned that word, Vision Quest. People come for 3 or 5 days in a row to go through this deep, deep transformation. And a lot of people who are at crossroads, for them, it's a perfect thing to do. They get 3 or 5 days, whatever time period they choose, to go very deep into absolute clarity, where to go, what to do, what's in their highest good, what is the gift to the planet, and how to move towards a much greater expression of who they really are.
Yes, I love that.
And definitely on my website, I would say just to log in to get those free audios. Yes. And meditations, because that's already there. You can receive them to your email right away.
And is that breathoflove.org?
Yes, breathoflove.org. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, Julia, this has been really, really wonderful. I'm re-inspired to have you participate in the school and for all of the future work that we're doing together. Just so you guys know, Julie and I have been going back and forth, also wanting to plan a retreat together. And we haven't settled on anything yet, but I'd be curious to know if any of you listening are like, wow, I would love to come and do a 3-day workshop with Julia and Camille and go deeper into this, then send me an email and let me know that, because we're wanting to get a pulse on who would be interested in something like this. And because we would both love to offer this to you. I certainly am very, very inspired to bring Julia into my community as much as possible. So yeah, let us know about that. Always let me know what you think about the show. Rate, review, and subscribe to Paleo Love and Transformation on iTunes. We'll give you that link. And send this on to any friends who are, you know, anybody, but especially people who are dealing with worry and anxiety and may feel a little hopeless about what's possible for them. If nothing else, I think this podcast could help them see that that depression and worry and anxiety is not something that you ever have to be stuck with, and that there is a way through, that there are people there to support you, people like Julia, and there's so many resources available, whether you just do it on your own or you know, you come into a community to do it. Just know that you are not alone, that that we are all here for each other and doing this crazy life together. And yeah. Any last words? Yeah, Julia.
Actually, I have a few last words. As I was listening to you, I felt inspired to say to everyone that you are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And every single part of you is absolutely beautiful. And I mean it. I know it for a fact. And even if it's an feeling or emotion or guilt or regret, even that is beautiful. And even that deserves to be held and acknowledged and breathed. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's my main message here.
I love it. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, everybody, that is a wrap for today. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.